It is interesting that some of the greatest critics of industrial capitalism in this period tended to be conservatives, who were very eager to have the testimony of workers and the abominable conditions in which they lived and work. Liberalism found itself in England far ahead of the other European countries, where we will see this crisis of liberalism. Liberalism found itself confronting a philosophical conundrum. Laissez-faire capitalism, a free market, were clearly economically successful. But could it regulate itself? Could the market regulate itself? Could it regulate social behavior? How could one in a civilized country stand by and watch these sorts of conditions emerge? As a consequence, one sees in the 1830s, there's a poor law passed in 1834 in England. There would be a number of factory reform acts that would be introduced also in the 1830s, but it was slow in coming. There was great reluctance on the part of triumphant liberalism to return to a state interventionist mode associated with mercantilism in the old regime to regulate the conditions of labor, to regulate this capitalist dynamo that had so utterly transformed England and made it into the giant that it had become. In the 1820s and the 1830s and into the 1840s, the criticism of this relentless capitalist expansion tended to come from the conservatives, as I indicated. But by the late 1830s and certainly into the 1840s and after the revolutions of 1848, which we will be taking up shortly, that criticism would increasingly come from the other side of the political spectrum, from the first organizations of working men in England, and increasingly from a new theoretical perspective that would emerge in the early 19th century, and that, of course, is socialism. In the last half of the 19th century, it would be Marxist socialism, which was the first systematic critique of industrial capitalism. But that's a story for another day and for further deliberation down the road. In the early part of the 19th century, and certainly by mid-century, England had charted a new course. It now was the leader, the model for industrial development. But those on the continent who looked to see these circumstances in England were certainly drawn by the achievements of British industrial capitalism, but were wary of the price. We'll look at the export of this industrial capitalism to the continent and the critique of its excesses just down the road a bit. Thank you.
I'm Tom Rollins, president of the Teaching Company. Thank you for listening to these lectures from the Superstar Teachers series. We hope you enjoyed them as much as we did. To receive a copy of our latest catalog or to order more courses, please give us a call at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-TEACH-12.